It is good to be with you. Listen, if you got a Bible with you, go ahead and turn to John 19. John 19. I said John 19, and you might be wondering why I did not say 1 Samuel. If you haven't been here with us, we've been walking through a series in 1 Samuel, Rise and Ruin. It's been an incredible series, and we will get back to that series next week. But as I begin, I want to say how encouraged I've been that our church has heard from so many different voices over the years, and yet the Word of God has remained central. I think about the years that I've been here, hearing faithful preaching from this pulpit, from people like Pastor Lon Solomon and Pastor Mike Kelsey and Pastor David Platt. I also think about our church over the last couple of weeks, right? 2 weeks ago, we heard from Pastor Tony Evans an incredible sermon, amen? We can give it up for that as well. And then last week, I know we had location-specific preaching at all of our locations. But I know last week I heard, at least at the Arlington location, from Pastor Joe Carter, was an incredible sermon. And then I listened to the sermon here by Pastor James Park, and I was incredibly encouraged by that one as well. Appreciate you, Pastor James. All that to say, listen, what has united the many different people who preach from this pulpit, it hasn't been charisma, it hasn't been personality, it hasn't been even intellect. What it's been is a shared commitment to faithfully preach in the Word of God. And that's what we intend to do this morning. And so this morning, I'm gonna read the Word of God, I'm gonna pray, and then we're gonna walk through it. Is that good with you guys? All right, let's do it. And so this morning, let's read this. It's John 19, verses 23 through 37. Here it is. It says this. It says, when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts. One part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. And this was to fulfill the scripture, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the foot of the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. And this is the Word of God. Let's take a moment. Let's pray together this morning as we hear an exposition of God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for how gracious and merciful you are, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. We thank you for the gift of your Word today. We thank you that you reveal yourself through your Word. And so, Father, I pray that you would give us ears to hear your Word this morning. May your Word fall on fresh soil. May we not be distracted. May it fall on fresh soil. May we receive it. And may we declare, God, whatever you tell me to do today, I am willing to do it because your ways are always right. We love you, Lord. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. If you agree, say amen. Amen, amen. Ralph Waldo Emerson, he was a literary one-hit wonder. He published only one book during his lifetime, and yet that one book became one of the great American literary classics. And that work is titled The Invisible Man. The Invisible Man. This book follows a man in the 1930s who constantly found himself among people who refused to see him. Person after person, group after group, failed to recognize that he was a human being just like them. That he too had an interior life filled with hopes and dreams, loves and desires. And while people could make out his form, when they looked at him, they could not see a real person. They only saw a tool that they could use for their own specific purposes. Matter of fact, in this book, the man, we never learn his name. And that was an intentional move by Ralph Waldo Emerson because to live in a world where it seems like nobody truly loves you or cares for you is comparable to living in a world where no one knows your name, speaks your name, or even cares to. I wonder if you've ever felt like him, that you live in a world in which no one knows your name. I wonder if you've ever wondered, does anybody see me? Does anybody even care? So many of us feel invisible this morning. And most of modern life, if you look at it deeply enough, is person after person attempting to prove to others, prove to the world that they are worthy to be seen and to be cared about. Think about it. How much of our competition, how much of our comparison, how much of our envy, how much of our likes, how much of our posts, how much of our achievement are desperate attempts for us to escape invisibility? How much of our efforts are attempts to answer yes to the question, does anybody see me? Does anybody even care? And this leads me to John 19 this morning. John 19 is an account of the darkest day of human history. It's a day that Jesus, the incarnate God in the flesh, was tortured. There he hanged, bloody, naked, in agony on a Roman cross. There he died, taking upon himself the sins of the entire world. And in this account, I want to point out a brief conversation. It's a conversation that we're tempted to wonder, why is it even here? It's a conversation that is easy for us to think that we can actually skip over this conversation and the narrative would actually remain more or less intact. This morning, we are focusing on a brief interaction that Jesus had with his mother. And this morning, I believe that God wants us to hear this brief interaction, because if you understand this interaction, if you understand this conversation, you will never have to wonder ever again if anybody ever sees you, if anybody cares about you. And listen, as we approach this text, there are two scenes that I actually want you to see in sharp relief. The first scene, we actually see these soldiers. And I want you to see them as I read the text yet again. Here it is. Verse 23, it says, when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. And this was to fulfill the scripture which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things. I want you to catch this. Think about them. In the face of incredible suffering around them, people are crying, grieving their crucified loved ones. There were three people on the crosses in front of them. What do we see in these soldiers? Here's what I see. I see a concern and a care for themselves. I want you to catch this. There's a man hanging on a cross. There's grief all around them. And the soldiers are only concerned about which one of them can make a buck off of Jesus' clothing. And listen, before I'm too hard on them, I want you to understand this. We don't know really their backgrounds. Maybe it was a regular practice for them to see what they could get off of crucified people. Maybe the soldiers were simply too numb to care. Maybe they're thinking, listen, I see grief every day. Seeing a crucified person is a daily occurrence for me. This is just one more. Maybe they were simply trying to provide for their families. Maybe they're thinking, listen, I got kids at home, and they stay in the fridge eating all the food. I don't know if you got that experience. I know I do. They're thinking, I've got mouths to feed, and this tunic can actually help me do that. All this is said, maybe they were at the end of their capacity to care about all the crying people around them and the dying people above them, because they had other things to be worried about. Maybe they're just trying to make it themselves. Maybe they've been jaded to the stuff that was in front of them in the moment. Maybe they didn't have the capacity to care. Here's my question for you. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever thought, listen, I don't got the strength to carry one more care? I don't know if you ever felt that way. So listen, in my life, I follow an unofficial law. I abide by it. This unofficial law states that no matter how many grocery bags you have in your car, you must only use one trip to get them in the house. Listen, I obey that law faithfully. Listen, to take two trips to grab groceries in my mind is one trip too many. I follow this law because it's efficient. It makes sense. I think it's a good idea until that moment when I'm halfway to the house and I realize I've got one bag too many. You see, it's that moment where you begin to make an executive decision. You begin to have an inner dialogue. You begin to think, which bag am I gonna drop? You know, you're walking in with the groceries. You think eggs, no, I can't drop that. Frozen pizza, yeah, you're going on the sidewalk. I'll come back for you. Listen, sometimes there's a point in the journey where the bags I'm carrying outnumber my ability to carry them. Have you ever felt that way about cares? Y'all, we live in a global world where news updates show up to our phones and our watches, and a lot of it is heavy. Not only that, we got people who are close to us who are going through it at the same time. They're going through breakups and work issues and grief and loss. It's a lot. And you quickly realize in the midst of it all that you can't carry all the cares. You realize that you don't got the emotional bandwidth or physical bandwidth to care for all these people. It's like me trying to grab all these grocery bags. How are we supposed to care about the war in the Middle East and the orphan crisis in Africa and sex trading all around the world and about your relatives' health issues and about your friends' broken relationships and not to mention your own troubles? You quickly hit up against your capacity to care. And you start to experience compassion fatigue, and then you start to make decisions to simply drop stuff. And then you realize, hold on, if I'm limited, other people are limited too. And if they are limited in their ability to care about all the things that they should care about, you begin to think, how can I expect them to care about little old me? And then it's easy for us to put all of that on Jesus as well. Think about Jesus. There is a lot of cares that Jesus is carrying. He sees all the cares that we see and then some. And we tend to think, okay, my needs pale in comparison to some of those. Does Jesus have the capacity to care for me? And let me tell you this morning, the picture that we see in verses 25 to 27 tells us that he certainly does. Look at verse 25. Verse 25 says it this way. It says, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. This is what I love about this, right? Between the actions of the soldiers and this account of Jesus' conversation with his mother is the word but. That word is there to declare that there is something different happening in what Jesus is doing than what the soldiers are doing. Listen. Jesus is hanging on the cross, experiencing the greatest suffering that the world has ever known. Listen, not only is he experiencing the physical pain of crucifixion, he is experiencing the condemnation, the weight, and the shame of the sin of all humanity, the deepest suffering that anybody has ever experienced. And then look at verse 26. Verse 26 puts it this way. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Do you see it? Jesus is bearing the weight of the sin of all humanity. He's carrying all of my bags and your bags. All of your sin, all of your baggage, he has it all. And he still on that cross has the capacity to care for his mother's needs and meet them. Y'all, he's bearing the sin of the entire world and he still has the capacity to care. And I want you to get the thrust of what I'm trying to say this morning. Jesus has the capacity to care for you right now. Jesus has the capacity to care for you right now. I don't care how many burdens you have. Your burdens would never exceed Jesus' ability to care. Listen, you may be limited in your ability and your capacity to care for other people, but Jesus isn't. Jesus is bearing the sin of the whole world and still has the capacity to care for his mother. His capacity to care is endless. He has room for you, y'all. He is not too busy for you. He doesn't have better things to do. He doesn't have compassion fatigue. The things that cause your eyes to well with tears this morning, Jesus has the capacity to care, and he does. He does. You might be thinking, all right, Eric, hold on. How is Jesus' capacity to care for his mother an indication that he cares for me? That's his mother. I'm some random person. I'm glad you asked. Listen, y'all, Jesus thought about family differently than we think about family. I want you to remember a passage from Mark 12. Jesus is doing ministry, and his mothers and brothers pull up on Jesus to have a word with him. Listen, there are clues in the scriptures that Jesus' family didn't get the point of Jesus' ministry. They were coming to Jesus saying, Jesus, you need to calm it down a bit, right? So they pull up to the house, didn't quite understand what Jesus was up to. They're concerned about him. Somebody walks up to Jesus and they say, Jesus, listen, your mom and your brother stay outside. They got to talk to you. And catch what Jesus says to them. Jesus says, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand towards the disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Do y'all catch what Jesus is saying there? He's saying that the same level of care that his mothers and brothers get is available to anybody who follows him. Listen, and right now, Jesus is in a better position to give it. He's not hanging on the Roman cross right now. Our Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, exalted right now. He got the ability to care for you this morning. This is good news for you. What is that thing that is causing you to wonder, does God care about me? What's that thing that's causing you to question, am I invisible? Let me tell you this morning, you got a God in heaven. You got Jesus Christ who was resurrected and exalted. He sees you this morning and he cares about you this morning. Listen. Does your burden feel small and petty compared to other people? It doesn't matter. Jesus cares about you this morning. Jesus is not too busy. He's not too preoccupied to care about you. He is infinite in power. He is infinite in presence. He is infinite in love, meaning this, when it comes to carrying the cares of the world, he will not drop you. He won't. Jesus has the capacity to care for you right now. But you might be wondering, if Jesus has the capacity to care, why does it sometimes feel like he doesn't? Why does it feel like that sometimes? This is where his wisdom comes in. Listen, not only does Jesus have the capacity to care for you, he has the wisdom to care for you this morning. He has the wisdom to care for you this morning. What do I mean by that? Listen, Jesus' capacity to care for our needs doesn't mean that he'll always meet our needs in the way that we think he should, in the moment that we think he should. If you're like me, I do this sometimes. I often think, God, if you cared, you'd do it this way. God, if you cared about me, you'd erase the debt right now. God, if you cared about me, you'd send the spouse to me right now. God, if you cared about me, you would heal the sickness right now. God, if you cared about me, you would send the prodigal child home right now. And certainly, God can do that. And yet when Jesus, this is what faith is, when Jesus is not expressing his care to you in the way that you think he should right now, what it means to trust Jesus is to remember that he's wiser than you and that he's caring for you even when you can't see it. To this point, I want you to think about it from Mary's point of view. Mary is standing at the foot of a cross and she's in grief. She is watching the one whom she birthed, she nursed, she taught and she raised, she's watching that one being executed by the Roman government. And there are so many times in which in the past Jesus talked about, frankly, that he would die, that he would rise, and nobody seemed to believe him, including his mother. And it seemed to so many, including his mother, that Jesus would be forever dead and the movement would be forever over. She's grieving the death of her son. I can imagine she's thinking, God, if you cared, you would remove Jesus from the cross right now. Catch this, y'all. In that moment, Mary wasn't wise enough to see how the cross was an expression of God's care for her in that moment. She couldn't see that God was actually caring for her deepest need, and that, and him caring for her actually required for Jesus, the Son of God, to die. She wasn't wise enough to see that a resurrection was coming and that eternal life and eternal joy will be available to all, including her. She couldn't see that God was actually working in the dark. So listen, y'all, when I was a kid, I remember getting a basketball hoop for Christmas. Excited about it, and yet it was April, and that hoop still wasn't up yet. And I get it. Listen, my dad was busy. I asked him to put it up by a certain date. We had family coming into town. I had my cousins coming into town. I had been bragging that I got a basketball hoop that we could play. And the furthest that my dad had gotten was a hole in the ground. Dad kept saying, listen, I got you, I got you, I got you. But it was literally two nights before they were due to show up. It's like 7 p.m. It's dark outside. And all I see is this hole. I'm mad. I'm frustrated. I don't say it to him because daddy would have knocked me out, right? But I'm thinking, yo, he does not care. It's already dark outside. Concrete actually needs a couple of days to set. It's not happening. But apparently my dad had a flair for the dramatic, because I woke up the next morning and there it stood in all its glory. My dad literally had broken out his tools and set it up during the night. I want y'all to catch this. I was so frustrated because I thought that my dad couldn't work in the dark. I was so frustrated because I thought that he didn't care about what I wanted, and neither of those things were true. I thought the darkness meant that my dad couldn't be working. But darkness only meant that I couldn't see him working. I had to wait until the morning to see that he had been working and caring for me all along. Hey, with me this morning. That's what the cross is like. Listen, we got a Savior that's able to work in the dark, y'all. He can. In the darkness of Mary's moment, Jesus was working. Jesus was caring. And in the darkness of your moments, even when you don't sense, even when you question, God, do you care about me? God is still working, y'all. He's still caring. Y'all, on the cross, Jesus cared for Mary in a better way than Mary could imagine, even though she couldn't recognize it in that moment. It was dark, but she had no understanding that Easter morning was coming. And listen, on the cross, Jesus shows that he cares about you better than you can imagine too. Listen, for many of those who are here, and you might be exploring what it means to be a follower of Jesus, I want to take a moment to articulate the good news of the gospel. The gospel is good news. The gospel declares that there's a God above that cares about you so much. He made you for himself out of love. The scripture says that he was intricately involved in your birth. No matter the circumstances of it, he was knitting you together in your mother's womb. He made you. And instead of trusting his love and care, every single person, all of us, we pushed him away. You know what we've done? We decided that his commands were not loving and caring, and that we could love ourselves and care for ourselves better than God. We disobeyed God. The Bible calls that sin. And because of our sin and the holiness and perfection of God, we deserve God's just wrath. And yet God has been gracious to us. And guess what, y'all? He never stopped caring about you. He cared about you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, for you. Listen, Jesus came and he lived the perfect life, the life that you did not live. And he died on a cross, taking the punishment that you deserve for your sin. He rose again, proving that he's God and that he has victory over sin, Satan, death, and the grave. Now listen, if anybody simply comes to Jesus, confessing their sin and trusting that Jesus is Lord, we can be forgiven of all that we've ever done. And we can experience the kind of care that comes for being called a son and daughter of the living God. Y'all, that's good news this morning. That's good news. We can clap for that. Amen. The scriptures tell us this, that in the gospel, God proves that he is able and willing to provide for our deepest needs. We need forgiveness, and he's provided that. And catch this, y'all. If God has cared for you at the point of your deepest need, at the cross, he can care for you right now with whatever need you have. He can. I know life might be hard for you. I know things might be a little dark right now. I know you might be suffering right now. And I know you might be wondering, does God care about me? And if you are ever in a moment where you are tempted to believe that God doesn't care about you, you know what God invites you to do? He invites you to look back to the cross. On the cross, Jesus was working in the darkest moment of human history. And if he was working through that moment, he's working through your darkest moments right now. So I want to encourage you, McLean Bible Church, hold on. Morning is coming. And you'll see what God was doing all along. Hold on to Christ, even in the midst of your depression, because he's still working in the dark. Hold on to Christ, even when you feel betrayed, because he still works in the dark, y'all. Hold on to Christ when you feel frustrated, when people don't appreciate you, when life feels like it's too much. Hold on, because Jesus is still working in the dark. The cross and the resurrection proves that we can trust the wisdom of Christ even when life gets dark. Trust him, y'all. You will not be disappointed. Morning is coming. Amen. Jesus has the wisdom to care for you today. He has the capacity to care for you today. And catch this, y'all. Jesus has the means to care for you right now. He has the means to care for you right now. I want you to look at how Jesus cares for his mother real quick. I love this part. Look at verses 26 and 27 again. It says, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. What I love about this text is that this shows how God provides care to his children. Y'all, look at the text. I want you to think about something. Remember, Jesus had brothers. And yet Jesus doesn't tell his brothers to care for his mother. He tells John. And listen, I don't know the reason for this. But the fact of the matter is this. Jesus is establishing a new relationship between John and Mary, showing us the way that he provides care for us right now. I love this. Jesus is creating a family that transcends biology. Let me show you something real quick. Luke 18, there's this passage where Jesus tells this rich man to sell everything you got if you want to follow me. And Peter gets a little shook by that. Peter tells Jesus, hold on, Jesus. We left everything to follow you. In other words, he's saying this. We left everything, so what do we get? And what does Jesus tell them? Luke 18, 29. And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who would not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life. Here's the question. How does a person who has left behind brothers or parents or children receive many times more that during this time? Y'all, Jesus clearly says this to comfort Peter and the disciples, so he has to be referring to real people that can provide what they're missing from what they left behind. So how does somebody get more brothers, more parents, more children in this life? Peter is saying, listen, I left my family behind to follow you, Jesus. I've left my circle of care behind. Who will care about me? Who will know my name? And Jesus is saying this here. I've given you a bigger family. I've enlarged your circle of care. I've given you a family called the church. And this church is one of God's primary means in order to express his love for you, McLean Bible Church. Listen, this is why what Jesus does in John 19 is beautiful. He takes two people that aren't blood and makes them family. Listen, what I love about this text is I'm not sure if Jesus had that in mind before he came to the cross. I don't know before if he went to the cross, he already thought, listen, I'm gonna hook John up with Mary so they can care for one another. Part of me wonders if Jesus was hanging on the cross and he looked out and he saw John and Mary standing beside one another. He said, y'all both love me. So why don't you guys now love one another? And listen, I truly believe that God wants to do the same exact thing with us. Listen, the local church is one of God's primary means to care for you. And when we refuse to enter into caring relationships with one another, we are slapping the hand of God because he's reaching out and caring for us through his body, the local church. Y'all hang with me this morning. Some of you have been praying your cares to God for years while ignoring the people through whom he's trying to answer your prayer requests. He wants to reach out to you in care through his local church. God in his sovereignty has brought so many people here who love Jesus that darken the doors at all of our locations every single Sunday. And if we're not careful, we can walk into the doors of the church every single Sunday. And our first question is this: who will care about me? It's a valid question. But what if we ask another question first? What if we ask this question? What if we said, Jesus, you have cared about me so much. You have sent your son to die for me. You place your spirit inside of me. You've given me every single spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You've given me so much mercy. You've given me so much grace. I don't deserve any of it all. Now, instead of who would care for me, God, I'm asking this question. Who do you want me to care for? Who do you want me to care for? Y'all, what if we show up to church and we said, you know what? I'm gonna leave my lunchtime open on Sunday and I'm gonna just simply ask God, is there anyone I can invite to take out to eat so that I can get to know them and encourage them? Who can I care for? What if I showed up to church group? I signed up to one. And I walked in, not just simply thinking who would care for me. But I walked in and I just thought, listen, God, help me to see the needs, help me to see the pain around me, and give me wisdom on how I can care for somebody else. What if I led a church group and I did the same thing? I don't know what God might be calling you to do. But I do know if everybody showed up somewhere like that, people would be tearing down the doors of this church to come in. Why do I know that? Because that's exactly what happened in the early church. Y'all, we look at Acts 2, the early church rocked the known world at that time because a whole bunch of strangers got together and the Spirit of God blew on them and strangers became family. They started selling everything. They started caring for one another in ways that caused the world to say, God must truly be there. God made them family. And McLean Bible Church, I believe this with all my heart. I believe God ain't done. I believe God ain't done, and it's time for us, y'all, to be the new kind of family that demonstrates the same thing that Jesus demonstrated by bringing John and Mary together, because the local church is one of Jesus' primary ways to demonstrate his care for us and his glory to the watching world. And I get it, y'all. For many of us, we come to the doors of this church because you can be invisible. We come here simply to get a good word and to leave and to go about our business. But let me tell you today, God desires to care for you through the local church. He wants more for you. Where's God calling you to care for somebody else? God has given you specific spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ. And you are being selfish right now by not using those gifts in order to care for the people around them. I can be kind of direct like that because I don't preach here every single Sunday. But God wants to use you to be his hands and feet, to care for the people around him, to show his glory to the watching world. Will you do that? Listen, y'all, in 1952, Ralph Ellison wrote a book about a man who walked through life, and he was called the Invisible Man. Here's my prayer, that you will know that you don't have to walk through life the same way. Jesus sees you, he cares about you, he knows your name. Listen, y'all, one of my favorite songs describes it perfectly, and if I could sing, I'd sing it to you, but the song goes like this. I have a maker, and he formed my heart. Even before time began, my life was in his hands. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. Jesus has the capacity to care for you this morning. Jesus has the wisdom to care for you this morning. The gospel proves that. Jesus has the means to care for you this morning. He's given you his church. And my question for you this morning is, will you believe that? Will you believe it? Hey, let's do this, y'all. I want to actually put some questions on the screen this morning, and I'm going to let you prayerfully process them. And after you do, either I or someone at your location will take it from there. Let's process this together. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we come before you this morning. And we thank you that you truly do care. You said in your word in Psalm 94:19, you said, when the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. And I know under the sound of my voice, there are so many people who need the consolation of your care. So many people who are wondering, am I invisible? Does somebody see me? Does somebody care about me? You do. So Father, would you meet them right where they are with the realization that you have been there for them all along? You said in your word that if you take care of the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, how much more valuable are we than they? You are with us, Father. So help us to know we could come to you with all of our burdens. You said, cast of all of our anxieties on you because you care for us. You said that we could present our request to you and that the peace of God that transcends all understanding guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So I pray for the hearts of the people underneath my care. God, I pray that they will know that you care for them, that you love them, that you are with them, that you uphold them with your mighty right hand. And Father, I pray for those who don't know you this morning, that they would come to know that you have cared for them by sending your only son, your precious son, to come and die for them. I pray that they will know the forgiveness that's available in you if we would simply confess our sin and trust in you as Lord. And God, I pray for those who know you, who feel weary and heavy laden right now by the cares of this world. I pray that we would come to Jesus, all who are weary and heavy laden, and that you would give us your rest this morning. God, we need you. We trust you. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for caring about us. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. If you agree, say, amen. Amen. Amen.